Good morning and welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about a very fascinating event happening in Tampa this coming next Sunday, actually, February 17th. And we have people in the studio who are going to talk about it. My co-host and I, we're going to be right back. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. And I want you to listen to this amazing music. It's called Cairo Steps. And it's a combination of Arabic music as well as actually some of the people who are playing are German, and this is very timely because part of what is coming next Sunday is about music. So listen to this one, Dance Denial. welcome back to True Talk. This is your host, Samar and Ahmed, or your host, Samar and Ahmed. And in the studio, I am pleased to say that we have Neil Abid, who is Executive Director of the Arab American Community Center of Florida, and Yasmina Al-Ahmed. Both are here in the studio because there is a fascinating event happening on Sunday. There is Al Mahrajan Al Arabi, Arab festival happening in Tampa on Sunday, February 17th, Waterworks Park, and they're going to tell us a little bit about it, because from what I am seeing here, there is music, food, arts, crafts, non-profit organizations will be there. Good morning, Neil and Yasmina.
Good morning.
So tell me, what is the Arab, the Arab American Community Center of Florida?
The Arab American Community Center of Florida is a social service organization. We have several programs from health, employment, immigration, domestic violence, youth and women empowerment, and charity. And we have a big outreach program, which is the festival. The Arab Fest is our signature project for our outreach.
So have you done it before?
This is in Tampa, our fifth Arab Fest. In Orlando, it's going to be March 31st, the ninth Arab Fest.
A lot of people attend usually?
In Orlando, we get anywhere from 8 to 15,000. Half of the audience are non-Arabs.
Wow.
In Tampa, we've been doing it in the past at the fairground, and we were unsuccessful to bring non-Arabs there. But this year, we moved it to water parks downtown Tampa, and we're expecting a lot of non-Arabs and non-Muslims to be attending our festival.
I'm not familiar, Ahmed, with the water parks. Where is that in downtown?
I think it's in downtown Tampa. One of the newer parks they just renovated, so it's a nice venue. It's on the water.
Oh wow!
And I think I attended the first Arab Fest in Orlando. And if you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF with Samar and Ahmed, and we're speaking to Neil Abid. He's the founder or the executive director of the Arab American Community Center of Florida. Later in the program, Samar, we're going to be speaking, by the way, in case people are tuning in now, about the controversy surrounding Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and smear attacks, what we perceive to be smear attacks against her. And by the way, Ilhan Omar is going to be in Tampa next weekend, so the timing. But first, about this Arab Fest, and Neil Abid, why did you guys start this?
Basically, the vision behind it is to build the bridges with different communities and to change the stereotype about Arabs and Muslim by food, music, and art, because that's a common language between all people of all colors and backgrounds.
Okay, who else is joining you here?
I have this young volunteer. Her name is Yasmin. She's been amazing. She's been really doing a lot of hard work, and we appreciate
her. Yasmin Al-Ahmed is from Tampa. Come closer to the mic, and he mentioned stereotypes that, you know, you're hoping to dispel. What are some of those stereotypes that people have about Arab?
that we're peaceful, we're aggressively loud, we're intimidating, we don't like people that are not Arab. So
these are stereotypes. What about, like, yeah, you know, when I think of stereotypes of Arabs, I think of the T word.
Oh, yeah, terrorists.
I mean, that's like the number one, right?
Yeah.
And of course, but here you're going to be feeding people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the food is good.
And the food is good. The music is good. We have a hijabi dancer.
A hip-hop dancer.
You're trying to break the stereotype.
Yeah,
that may cause some controversy. Hijabi dancer. It's not you, Yasmin.
No, it's not.
What's her name?
Her name is Amira Sakit. She's from Minneapolis.
You have to bring her from Minneapolis.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. But you know what? It's better that someone from outside comes in so it can open the insider's point of view.
Okay, so this is going to be Sunday, February 17th. That's this weekend.
Yep.
This Sunday at Waterworks Park, the Arab Fest Tampa Arab Festival. It's open to all people. Even though it's Arab Fest, it's open to everyone.
It's open to everyone, even some of our
Everyone is going to be in, you know, having fun. Because some people, I imagine, in Tampa who've never met Arabs, you know, they may be afraid of Arabs.
Probably. Right?
Because of what they see on television.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
you growing up in this country, I'm sure you watched a lot of TV.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think that Arabs are portrayed accurately on television?
No. No, okay. They're not.
Okay, tell me a little bit. Like, are there any movies that come to mind or anything specific?
The only Arab-themed movie that I can think of that it's kind of okay is Aladdin.
And that's even bad. Have you ever heard of the language in Aladdin?
Yeah, and even, like, some of the older characters are portrayed as either stupid or aggressive, and
I think of movies, and that's maybe, you know, before your child, like movies like True Lies, or is it called True Lies?
True Lies,
yeah, True
yes.
Lies, and what are some, you know, some of these movies that depict Arabs as these like bloodthirsty terrorists, you know, always whenever they come in, they're just screaming some gibberish, not even Arabic.
Even the very famous one with Back to the Future had all of a sudden three Libyans shooting people.
Yeah, in a van. They came like in a van out of nowhere.
They think, you know, it's Arabic. I have no idea what language
for
it is.
For a long
they start
time.
Shooting people in
yeah,
the parking
the stereotype. Lot. And they continue. I mean, right now, of course, it's completely unacceptable, you know, to portray stereotypes of black people, for example. Well, unless, yes. You know, you're the Virginia governor.
Yeah.
And you're in Virginia and what's happening there. However, still in the public, in the media, on the news, you often, you know, hear these stereotypes repeated against about Arabs and about Muslims and about Palestinians, for example. Does mm-hmm. that continue to upset you?
It does. However, the increase of positivity that has arisen, especially with Rashida.
Rashida who? Rashida Tlaib, the first Palestinian
yeah.
or the first Arab American or
Arab
first
American.
Palestinian Muslim congresswoman.
Yes.
So how is that changing things? Is that improving?
In my opinion, yes. And it's a door opener for a lot of other women.
Is that a role model for you?
Yes, she is.
But Neil, you saw from day one, right away, the media came attacking her when she called Trump a, you know, certain name. I think it was kind of she misspoke. But since then, her and Ilhan Omar in Washington have been under attack.
Yeah, unfortunately, anything new, I guess, and any new challenges for the politicians, our community is always, it's, so I think, but they are in the right track. I think our community in general is doing a great job in reaching out. I think we do a lot of events that do outreach, like we go feed the homeless at the Coalition of Homeless. We do the National Arab American Service Day in May. And this is throughout the country. The Muslim community been doing interfaith work and reaching out. So as a community, we had rise up to the challenges that we've been facing. Yes, last week, United
Voices,
the candidate the candidate forum.
Yeah.
They had several hundred people. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about building bridges. Part of it for us to be blamed that we haven't been very active and engaged in the community. Our community, for a long time, they were isolated. And now we are opening up. And the more we open up, we will bring the stereotype down. Plus, we will build our influence. Because in the end of the day, it's really how much influence you have in town.
Let's remind our listeners, Ahmed, that we're talking about a very interesting event that's taking place this coming Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Waterworks Park in Tampa. And I am looking at the flyer. There is plenty of space to park, so no fear about where you're going to park. And it's happening, again, 1710 North Highland Avenue, Waterworks Park. And Neil, you were just saying that, you know, the community is going out and doing these amazing things, but also culture and music and food can contribute. People love our Arabic food. Are there vendors? Do you know what kind of food? Or
We have a lot of actually food vendors. We have 7 different food vendors, and they all Arabs food. So you're going to have shawarma, falafel,
hummus,
tabbouleh, kifta.
Everything.
You'll be amazed with the food. Actually, our experience in Orlando, because we get a lot of non-Arabs, people come and they love the food. They get the henna. They get, I mean, they really
What's
get
la
engaged. Henna is it's a tattoo.
Oh, the temporary tattoo.
Temporary tattoo.
Are you going to get one?
Not me, but I will pay for yours.
Women usually love to have it. Sahih, Yasmina, do henna? Because we do
when
it
I was
for
younger.
Weddings.
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to like it every event, but nowadays I don't.
So what other music bands are playing?
So we have a few singers. We have Jed, he's a Lebanese singer. We have Wahib Nassan coming up from Chicago. He's a Palestinian rapper. He raps in English, but a lot of his music, is Middle Eastern influenced, specifically Palestine. We have Mohannad, yes.
He's an Iraqi singer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this Bahraini hip hop.
Oh, wow. From Bahrain?
From Bahrain. Yeah, he lives in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And he called in last week. And he's going to be performing at the Arab
Festival. Bahraini hip hop?
A Bahraini hip hop. Yeah, that was very interesting, even to me.
Wow.
This is my first time actually to meet a Bahraini in general.
And the hip-hop hijab wearing, or the lady who covers her hair, mm-hmm. is going to do dancing?
She's a hip-hop dancer.
So
it's not as it seems to sound.
Yeah.
Because when I was told that too, I was taken aback. But then I watched some of her videos, and it's very interesting. Her name is Amira Sakit, and it's phenomenal. She's phenomenal. Great lady.
Wow. So, how many did you name now? Like 4 or 5 bands. So they're going to start playing from the morning and
probably we'll start around 11:30, 12. And from 12 to 7, we will always have somebody on the stage. We have different Debka groups, actually. We have like 3 or 4.
What's Debka?
Debka is a Middle Eastern dance.
Middle Eastern is dance?
Yes, it's a folk dance, so it's like steps.
It's thumping.
Thumping.
Yeah, like you jump. Kind of,
why are you making? I mean, thumping sounds kind of like violent.
You jump and do footwork.
It's kind of like a stomp.
They gently stomp. Yeah, it's like. Is it like marching?
No, if people have Russian background, Armenian.
It's basically they hold hands and then they start.
Or
like
the Irish,
like a leg
work.
Where they kick their leg and they keep rotating
and
jump up. And then
and they do flips sometimes. I've seen Debka troops.
The lead.
There is a female Debka group at USF. Or are they?
They're mixed now. They used to be female, but that's because men didn't want to dance with them. But they mixed it now. It's they're coming. They're called Buz Debka. We have Leyalina, who was in Michigan, but they moved back down here. We have St. George Debka group, and they are in
so many.
Yeah,
St. George Debka, are they Coptic? Are they Christian?
They're Orthodox.
Orthodox Christians.
Yeah, they're Orthodox.
So this is an interfaith Debka.
Yeah.
Debka dance off.
Yeah.
May the best Debka group win.
Yeah.
And we have the school. What's the name?
We have AYA, American Youth Academy.
What are they gonna do?
They're middle school kids. They're just kind of showing off.
Are they going to sing?
They're also Debka. Yeah,
Gosh,
they're little kids. There's going to be a lot of Debka happening. And last time when I've gone there before, there's a lot of Debka happening in the audience.
Yes.
You know, in front of the stage.
And that's hopefully it still continues.
Yeah, there's a few guys that are not, that end up coming. And they're not on stage, but they're, you know, dancing like they're on stage.
They're hype. They're hype.
They're hype.
They get engaged. They get engaged with the music.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and we're speaking to organizers of the upcoming Arab Festival, Tampa edition. It's going to be this Sunday, February 17th at Waterworks Park, which is on 1710 Highland Avenue. There's going to be food, culture, music, family fun, kids, vendors. It starts at, I guess, 11 a.m. and it goes until what?
7.
7 p.m.
Yes.
Is it free?
It's free. There is no admission charge. Parking is available all over downtown Tampa.
Is it free also, the parking?
No, the parking basically. Yeah, there's some free parking areas, but there is, you have to find your own parking.
Depends on when you come.
It depends when you come here. But there is plenty of parking. You just have to look for it. We're going to put additional information on the ACC Florida Facebook for the parking. You could go and see the video in ACC Florida Facebook too. We have a video that...
Your Facebook page is facebook.com/AACC Florida. And there's a phone number here if you need more information, 813-474-4009. Anything else you want to add?
And you could add that 305-606-7433. That's the Tampa office phone. Nobody's going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. But if you need any information during the weekend, it's 305-606-7433. It's going to be fun. Come out. Bring your family. Come and get some food. It's going to be a lot of fun and family friendly.
You know, what I like about this, it's an opportunity for people to get to know another culture. Mm-hmm. Listeners out there, you hear a lot about, the Arab community, the Muslim community. This is a chance to go out and just spend time and interact and get to know your neighbors while eating food. And, you know, what better way to engage people, through food. So thank you so much for organizing this. Best of luck this Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and keep up the good work.
Okay, inshallah. Take care. So, Samar, we want to continue the conversation when we come back after the short break. We're going to talk about Ilhan Omar. Of course, she's been all over the news this week because of a tweet that she had made earlier, and people are just going crazy.
A response to a tweet, actually.
It was a tweet. It was a response to a tweet and a response to a question, and then it was just like, you know.
Okay, this is WMNF 88.5 FM. Listen to this amazing music by Cairo Steps. What do you think of this music? I love it.
It's very classical. It's very you.
It's an Egyptian composer. He's playing on the oud, the Arabic instrument, and all the people playing are from Germany. He has this band that's called Cairo Steps, and from Germany and some other European countries. But it's an amazing band. And then in other songs, Ahmed, he brings a very traditional blind Muslim sheikh, and he does these Arabic songs. And then he brings also Coptic singers, and they all do this medley of amazing songs. Maybe we should play it one time. But have you watched what Jake Tapper did on
Well, first, let's just introduce the segment by saying, one, this is True Talk on WMNF with Ahmed. This is Summer.
Hi.
And
we're live on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, I'm live on my Facebook. I think you're live on your Twitter.
Yeah.
Where's your...
It's here. I put it there.
So earlier this week, I think it was last Sunday, there was an article about how the Republican leader in the House is targeting Rashida and Ilhan Omar because of their support for BDS, and they're trying to silence them. So this, I think, was written in The Intercept. And Ilhan Omar retweeted it and put a comment to say it's all about the Benjamins.
She replied to Glenn Greenwald's
post. Okay, post. Just to be technical.
No, yeah. Posted that news item. No, she was just commenting to someone.
Yeah, she replied a comment to Glenn Greenwald. He's a famous editor at The Intercept. About this, and with a quote from a song saying it's all about the Benjamins. Do you have that song?
No.
Oh, we could play it. Anyway, it's all about the Benjamins is a Puff Daddy, or as he calls himself, P. Diddy song from, I think, maybe 20 years ago.
1997.
Yeah, it's all about the Benjamins. Referring to about the influence of money into politics. Something that, Alexandria Ocasio and others have been complaining about, that you need to be able to, there's too much money in politics. And because of these special interest groups and how much money they're putting in, that it's the money is influencing politics. So somebody, editor at the Jewish Forward Daily, it's called The Forward, her name is Batya, I don't know how to say her last name, but she responded and said, would love to know who Ilhan Omar thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel. Though I think I can guess, bad form, Congresswoman, that's the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted. Before this editor wrote this, people were not accusing her of anti-Semitism. Because, okay, she's just talking about the influence of money. However, The Forward, this editor comes and spins it as some sort of that this is a second anti-Semitic comment. And Ilhan Omar responds and said to the question who it is, she says AIPAC. Well, AIPAC brags on their website regularly about how much money they raise and how much influence or progress they're able to lobby on pro-Israel in Washington. It's no secret.
Wall Street Journal actually yesterday published an amazing title about AIPAC spending $100 million every year on elected officials, not only in the Congress, but like on the state level, and nobody accused them to lobby them.
Yeah, so this was actually, this article came out like 3 days after this whole controversy about how much money. Okay, well that's proof.
AIPAC identifies itself as a lobby group that tries to influence politics in favor of Israel. I mean, they do not hide it.
So I know Ilhan Omar. I don't, of course, she's not a racist. She's not anti-Semitic. But now, in context, if you said, and that's not to say that there aren't stereotypes about the Jewish community and how people used and misused these anti-Semitic comments in the past to try to paint the Jewish community as somehow evil. There's truth to that. The Nazis did it. Other people have done it. However, context does matter. And when someone like Ilhan Omar is raising concerns about the influence of AIPAC or any lobby group like the NRA or others,
pharmaceuticals, for instance.
I mean, you can you should be able to criticize AIPAC and their influence on government without accusations of anti-Semitism. I mean, if you disagree with AIPAC, that doesn't make you anti-Semitic. Or does it? I mean, maybe we can hear from some of our Jewish listeners because, you know, I'm not Jewish, but to me, how else would you be able to criticize a special interest group like AIPAC? I mean, how do you do it? But AIPAC, and it seems like the Jewish or the Daily Forward wants to somehow redefine anti-Semitism to mean to include criticism of AIPAC. So now AIPAC is off limits. No one can criticize them. When the Wall Street Journal does it, then it's not a problem, but Ilhan Omar. But I think it's, you know, for some reason, or others are speculating it's a lot deeper than that, that really some members in Congress or some of these special interest groups hate the fact that there are two Muslim women in Congress that are outspoken in support of this BDS movement, and they're trying to silence them.
Actually, Ahmed, I want you to maybe listen to this segment. Did you hear her questioning of Elliot Abrams, who was indicted for the Contra affair, and then
correct,
he was
I saw
pardoned?
It went viral. But
maybe this is why they want people
they want
like
her off. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's
nobody
not play
had
that
the
first.
Nobody had the guts to question him. The guy is going to be responsible for Venezuela. And he was
He's a convicted person that he lied to Congress in the past.
So
and they
maybe,
put him back in power.
Maybe this is why they don't want people like her. Let's listen.
Okay, we can play this segment.
This is an exchange between Representative Ilhan Omar and Elliot Abrams.
Ms. Omar.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for your testimonies. Mr. Adams, in 1991, you pleaded guilty to two counts of withholding information from Congress regarding your involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, for which you were later pardoned by President George H.W. Bush. I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful.
If I can respond to that.
It wasn't a question. I reserve the right to my time.
It is not right.
That was not a question.
Members of this committee can attack
on February 8th,
who is not permitted to reply.
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation. On February 8th, 1982, you testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about U.S. policy in El Salvador. In that hearing, you dismissed as communist propaganda report about the massacre of El Mozote, in which more than 800 civilians, including children as young as 2 years old, were brutally murdered by U.S.-trained troops. During that massacre, some of those troops bragged about raping a 12-year-old girl before they killed them. Girls before they killed them. You later said that the U.S. policy in El Salvador was a fabulous achievement. Yes or no, do you still think so?
From the day that President Duarte was elected in a free election, to this day, El Salvador has been a democracy. That's a fabulous achievement.
Yes or no, do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question, and I
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack, which is not a question.
Yes or no, would you support an armed faction within Venezuela that engages in war crimes, crimes against humanity,
welcome back
or
to
genocide.
True Talk on WMNF. Welcome back to True Talk on WMNF 88.5. That was an exchange between Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and the new special envoy to Venezuela, Elliot Abrams, who has a long history of foreign policy. He's a known neoconservative all the way back from even before the Reagan administration, responsible for a lot of the foreign policy problems of the United States in Central America. He was involved in the Iran-Contra affair, where they were basically selling weapons to Iran through Israel illegally, at the same time that Iran was holding American hostages in order to fund the war on drugs in Central America. But really, they were arming. I mean, they're saying the war on drugs, but really, they were basically fighting what they, you know, communism in Central America and using these militias down there. But, you know, because Congress refused to fund it, so they were funneling money that way. It was illegal. This person lied to Congress, and now, you know, he's back, and she's grilling him.
She's the only one who did
that. She's the only one that's willing to bring up this past. Everybody else in Washington is playing nice. Mm-hmm. They won't bring up these things, but you know, this is, like you said, maybe this is why they want to shut her up. This is why they, and one of the first things that people were calling for is for her removal off the Foreign Relations Committee, this very same committee.
Exactly.
Maybe it was because of this hearing that was coming up. Or that she should resign. And including, imagine, this is a Somali refugee. Her father is Somali, her mother is Yemeni, and her mother died when she was two. And she escaped to Kenya to stay in a refugee camp for many years. And then finally came to, you know, the United States. Now she's a congresswoman. She's
people
a tiny little
proud.
Thing. She's so small. And the most powerful people in America are just ganging up on her,
yeah.
on this small black woman. But she's big in, you know, in her voice, in her courage. And, you know, they just want to, you know, shut her up. And accusations like anti-Semitism. She did issue a good statement saying, you know, anti-Semitism is real. But she has no intention, or she had no intention. When she tweeted that song, it had nothing to do with, like, oh, Jewish money, how some people interpreted it. Should people get the benefit of the doubt? It seemed like people were just waiting to pounce on her, including Chelsea Clinton. You know, what was kind of sad, it was to see, like, people within her own party.
Yeah.
Like, basically carrying water for some of the Republicans that were just piling it on her. And that's been the case since she's been there. So our phone number is 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. And our email is dj@wmnf.org. I want to say hi to Lena Halverson, who says hi to you and myself on Facebook.
Lena is the director of the movie on Dr. Samuel Larian.
Right, she's an accomplished director. So you have some
emails to read. This is a text. She's anti-Zionist, BDS is working. Simon says the woman did not even know his name, calling him Adam. Not impressive. I'm sure there are other capable individuals. Whoever is capable, Simon obviously is being attacked right and left by Zionists. Adam.
But the point is, because it's not about, okay, she mispronounced his name.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of, she's not, she hasn't been in Congress that long. Maybe she was a little nervous in when she was speaking, but it's the substance of her questions.
It's when you don't find something substantial to talk about, you start attacking people personally or
right.
their accent.
And then she's,
anybody can make fun of my accent. Yeah, but how many languages do people speak? Anyways, Adam is saying, Ilhan is awesome. I love the job she did. We need people like her, Rashida Tlaib and AOC Alexandra, who are unafraid to challenge the status quo. The old white men are afraid because they know what the future will look like. It will look like these three women. Thank you, Adam. Ahmed, have you listened to Jake Tapper? He did something so funny about the story about Ilhan because of the amazing hypocrisy out there, because Trump was at some Republican conservative Jewish group.
Yeah, it was. That was a like a Rosh Hashanah festival. Like, he invited the Jewish leaders to come to the White House.
No,
to celebrate.
This is before. This is 2016, and
oh,
he
2016.
Said, "You're not going to give me money because you know you can't influence me."
Oh,
so
okay.
let's listen. You want to listen to
this? Go ahead.
Yeah,
not?
Let's listen to this segment from CNN
about bigotry. Recently, Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar this week was accused by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other top Democrats of spreading, quote, anti-Semitic tropes. Omar has apologized, but our own Manu Raju found her quite unwilling to discuss the controversy when he asked her about it today.
The president tried to convey.
This one with you.
No, I'm asking you a question about your tweet. You had a tweet saying the president tried to convey.
Yes, I tweeted. There's a response. You can run that. Have a nice day.
Omar's apology that she referred to there was not good enough for President Trump.
Anti-Semitism has no place in the United States Congress. What she said is so deep-seated in her heart that her lame apology, and that's what it was lame, and she didn't mean a word of it, was just not appropriate. I think she should resign from Congress, frankly. But at a minimum, she shouldn't be on committees.
An amen came from Vice President Pence, who tweeted, quote, to those who engage in anti-Semitic tropes should not just be denounced, they should face consequences for their words, unquote. Congresswoman Omar specifically suggested that financial donations from American Jews are what fuels support for Israel. She tweeted, quote, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And when asked to whom she was referring, she tweeted, AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobbying organization. Because there is nothing that this White House finds more offensive than a politician feeding into stereotypes about Jews and Jewish money and controlling politicians, which is what Congresswoman Omar is accused of having done.
Is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room negotiates. I want to renegotiate this room. Perhaps more than any room I've ever spoken to. Maybe more. It's okay. I've been called on that a couple of times too. You're not going to support me, even though you know I'm the best thing that could ever happen to Israel. And I'll be that. And I know why you're not going to support me. And, you know, you're not going to support me because I don't want your money. You don't want to give me money, okay? But that's okay. You want to control your own politician. That's fine.
I'm sorry, that was the wrong clip. That was then-candidate Trump in front of the Republican Jewish Coalition suggesting that haggling Jews like to control their politicians with their money. We wanted the clip of Congresswoman Omar. Control room, I want the Omar clip. Give us the Omar clip. Wait, no, that's not it either. That's a deleted Donald Trump retweet from 2016. As conservative Eric Erickson tweeted at the time, quote, a Star of David, a pile of cash and suggestions of corruption. Donald Trump again plays to the white supremacists, unquote. Control room, I'm not looking for stuff about Trump. I'm looking for the Congresswoman Omar clip. Do you have it? Okay, I'm being told we have it. Thank you. Run it, please.
Excuse me. To protest. Excuse me. They didn't let themselves down as you. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
No, control room, that was President Trump saying that very fine people were marching alongside neo-Nazis and skinheads and white supremacists, people who had chanted Jews will not. Yes, those people, the anti-Semites in Charlottesville. And my sincerest apologies. Can we please forget about President Trump for a second? Can we show the Omar tweet? Please, the Omar tweet. Can you show it, please? Oh, this isn't it either. This is unbelievable. This is a tweet by House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy right before the midterm saying, quote, we cannot allow Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg to buy, in all caps, this election. Of course, that's an allegation by the House Republican leader, the three wealthy liberals, all of
whom just coming back, joining us. This is True Talk on WMNF. Actually, that was a clip from Jake Tapper on CNN, basically displaying the hypocrisy of Trump and the Republicans for calling on Ilhan Omar to resign for something that seems so benign that she may not have meant it in that way, but was perceived that way. And she apologized for not being more careful about it, but did not apologize for her, you know, criticism support of AIPAC. However, Trump has a long history of actually just clearly saying that, you know, the Jewish community is controlling politicians with money. You're not gonna, you know, give me money because I can't be controlled like the other politicians you control with your money. This is just straight up real anti-Semitism. But where was the Daily Forward and others criticizing Trump and calling him out, and Jewish leaders calling out for the anti-Semitism? Where is AIPAC criticizing him for this unacceptable
Let's take a few phone calls.
Give them the number.
The number is 813-239-9663. I like the way you tell me, give them the number. As if I don't know the number and I'm not going to give them the number. You sound like my husband.
Well,
813-239-9663. Jeff from...
Please give them the number.
Yeah. Jeff from Plant City, you're on True Talk.
I have a question. The scandal that Netanyahu was embroiled in, did that involve, it was corruption I heard, but was it, you know, money directly or what? Do you know?
Jeff, I really am not following that aspect in particular. We're talking about something else, but I think there is...
With the influence of money and maybe in Israel and certainly here where lines that have long been blurred are being wiped out by this president with his blatant capitalism in office. And so yes, money affects every facet of our elections, and it's time that people were able to say where it was without being accused of anti-Semitism or racism or, you know, any other thing that they can come up with.
Okay, Jeff.
Thanks for letting me express my opinion.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Well, let's go to Hugh in Dover. And Ahmed, before I take him, I would like to thank our listeners for supporting True Talk last week, especially the lovely women who gave...
Go women!
Yep, a lot of women came at the last moment when we really needed to match the $1,500 pledge. So thank you so much to our listeners. We met the goal, but WMNF still needs a few bucks here and there. It would be lovely.
We exceeded our goal somewhere.
We did, yeah, but it would be lovely to exceed it even more if they give now $5 or $10. If they go to WMNF.org and click on the tip jar and say what a wonderful show this is. Let's go to Hugh. Dover, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to once again say congratulations to the Arabic people and the Muslim people for their nominations to the Senate and to women in general.
Thank you so much.
But on today specifically, when is it Ahmed? Am I pronouncing?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Ahmed.
Hey.
When you made a comment about blackface and people that people can't mimic or try to look, you know, like colored people, I think, you know, if you think about Al Jolson, you know, a mixed race person mimicking a black person as part of a theater. I don't think it's really inappropriate. I think the big issue, the bigger issue, is along the lines of when, I don't know if you're familiar with the Mormon with the Mormon religion, but when they were fleeing Nauvoo, Illinois, a group of people assassinated their religious founder, who was Joseph Smith. And there's a really good movie. It stars Vincent Price, a very, very young Vincent Price, and it's called Brigham Young, and it describes the plight of those of that particular religion in America.
Okay, what does that have to do with the blackface?
Well, what they did is when they on the night when they assassinated Joseph Smith, the men went to the river, the Missouri River or Mississippi River, and they took sticks and mud, and they muddied up the sticks, got mud, and put it on their face, which is blackface. The same thing in Boston Harbor, when people, instead of going out there and throwing the tea into the water, they dressed up like Indians. So the blackface, and it's not mimicking black people. What they're doing with blackface is they're hiding their identity. And that's
you mean when somebody goes to a party, they're trying to hide their identity at the party and they're wearing blackface? I don't think they're trying to hide themselves among the people. I mean, yeah. So it's one thing to say, you know, our U.S. soldiers, when they go into combat, they put, camouflage. They dress in a certain way and they cover their face in a certain way for a specific reason. But if you're just going out for entertainment and to make fun of, and you dress and you put on blackface and you make your lips really, like super red and caricature the black people that were enslaved, I think that's racist. So, but our topic today. We have to move on.
Maybe if you're trying to act like a slave, but me, I'm 60 years old. When I used to dress up as a black person, I used to listen to funk, funkadelic, Teddy Pendergrass, and so I used to wear black. Black and lovely, dark and lovely black.
Thank you,
black
Hugh,
makeup.
But really, it's
but
not.
But just the makeup itself. You don't have to wear.
Okay,
the
Hugh.
This is not really
the topic of our conversation. Would be lovely to talk about it when probably there are maybe African American people. Let me go to Sister Kelly in Tampa. Good morning, Sister. You're on True Talk.
Thank you. I am so proud of Congresswoman Omar. I hope the other senior Congress people will get off their butt and research the history of our intervention around the world. Nicaraguans had to run to my little island, San Andres Island, South America. They had to run there from what Reagan incursion and Oliver Norton did to their country. Right now, we are facing a crisis on the island, on my home island, Flanders Island, because the Venezuelans are running via Colombia to a small island of eight square miles or whatever, tiny little island, and we have over 200,000 Colombians living there and overburdening our ecosystem. So bravo to Congresswoman Omar, and thanks for the mayoral forum this past weekend.
Oh, you attended it, sister?
No, I'm just a faithful listener of your show. Thank you
so much, sister.
We had a good, it was actually a very good candidate
forum.
We had 25 candidates, and all the mayoral candidates were there. We did something that was unique.
What?
And maybe we have a recording of it, so maybe we can air it later. But we allowed candidates to ask each other questions.
Oh, that's, usually they don't do that.
No, usually it's like, you know, just the panel. So we have the panel to ask questions. But I know at some point we told the candidates, okay, you get to pick one other candidate and ask them one question. What would it be? And it was interesting, like how they are standing there and which question they chose to, you know, pick. The person that received the most questions was David Straz, which I think it was a strategy to try to, they want to trip him up. But it also gave him the most exposure because when you keep asking him a question, it gives him, you know, time to speak in front of the audience. So we had about over 300 people at the mosque, and it was really, you know, well attended. We had a nice lunch, which was a nice touch. And the candidates really appreciated that because they said when they go places, nobody feeds them.
So we're very generous. How about tell me about the event. You said next Saturday?
So next Saturday, Ilhan Omar, before this whole controversy...
Yeah, a long time ago.
It was, erupted about Ilhan Omar. She was already scheduled to come to speak in Tampa about Yemen. There is, you know, Yemen is now the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And there's an organization called Islamic Relief that's working there. And they're doing a fundraiser for Yemen for humanitarian aid on Saturday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. And she's a keynote speaker. And so she's going to be there. And after this controversy erupted, then, of course, her haters are out there looking for, you know, where she's going to speak and, you know, to try to attack it. And, you know, they try to make some sort of controversy about this event. So it'll be interesting, you know, what happens next week. But if people want to get tickets for that event and hear Ilhan Omar and see her in person and meet her, you can go to Tampa number four, like the number four, Tampa number four, Yemen. eventbrite.com Tampa number four yemen.eventbrite.com. You can get your ticket there. It's a dinner and it's a fundraiser. I think tickets are like $40 or something.
Let me remind our listeners, Ahmed, that Sunday, February 17th, there is an Arab Fest at Waterworks Parkland. It's 1710 North Highland Avenue. Waterworks Park, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Lots of food, music, kids fun. There are vendors and Arabic food. It's free. And there is plenty of parking. There is like a list of maybe 16 different places where they can park. It's free admission. It's a chance to go meet Arabs and meet Americans of all walks of life. Like they said, there is dabka by a Catholic, by
all
an
types
Orthodox.
Of dabka by everybody. Everybody's going to be doing dabka.
It's going to be dancing and lots of food, lots of fun for the kids. And I think some non-profit organizations are going to be there. So if you want more information, go to www.aaccflorida.org. aaccflorida.org. And again, Ahmed, we want to thank our listeners.
Thank you, listeners.
Who contributed to True Talk.
Samar, as we're speaking right now, Trump is live declaring the state of emergency on the southern border, where people are calling it the fake Trump emergency. And basically, that triggers a way for him to be able to shift money that was already earmarked for disaster relief and other things and get the Army Corps to build the wall in areas where he's not getting the funding. So that's what's happening now, and you'll probably hear about it next on the next NPR News.
Let me just remind our listeners, you can always go to WMNF.org and click on the tip jar and give to your favorite show, maybe True Talk, because WMNF still needs to
raise. We are
their
favorite show.
They still need to raise maybe something like more than $10,000. I'm not sure how much.
Pocket change for you.
Exactly. So thanks for supporting True Talk. Thanks for supporting WMNF. And don't miss the event on Sunday. This is WMNF 88.5 FM, and NPR News is next.